to the Megan in the Morning podcast. We're glad you're here. Please store your belongings in the seat pocket in front of you. And remember, you can catch Megan live weekdays on 107.7 The Beat. Enjoy the ride.
It is dark outside. It's October 21st. We're getting closer and closer to Halloween. Looking forward to today. Eric is coming in to join me. It's Thursday mornings with Eric. He always brings in his top headlines, and I use my air quotes for that one because it's whatever he thinks in the moment in this last week of news since we've seen him last makes a top headline. So typically it has something to do with an animal, or maybe it's a Guinness Book of World Record, but it's always very entertaining. Eric's top headlines, they're during the latter half of the show because Eric will be joining me right around 8:20. Your daily news beat is next. I hope you're waking up feeling great, refreshed. We're getting closer and closer to the weekend.
Your news beat is brought to you by the Thomason Auto Group. Thomason Auto, the best way to buy in Bend, Redmond, and online at thomason.com.
Good morning. It's Megan. Redrawing Oregon's legislative boundaries is frustrating Redmond's mayor. Federal congressional districts 2 and 5 basically cut Redmond in half. Now the west part is in District 5, which goes all the way up into Clackamas County. Mayor George Endicott tells KBND News that the split is problematic because Redmond has nothing in common with Clackamas County. State lawmakers approved the map last month, but an appeal is being considered. Also, the west side of Old McKenzie Pass closes this morning. At 10 a.m., ODOT will close Highway 242 from just east of Highway 126 to the summit near the D. Wright Observatory. The east side of the historic highway from Sisters to the observatory will remain open until November 1st, weather permitting. Taking a look at your forecast today, looks like high is going to be in the mid-60s. Partly cloudy skies. Looks like mostly cloudy, actually, as I kind of scroll throughout the day. We have a slight chance of rain, looks like this evening, right around 8 o'clock this evening, and it might hang out with us for the remainder of the night. Tomorrow looks like mid-50s and mostly cloudy, and we're expecting rain again. Currently in Bend, it's 46, 46 in Prineville, and 36 in Sisters. I am in love with Halloween. It's one of my favorite holidays, and I love all the different Halloween decorations that are out at people's houses right now. I was just reading this article about this Texas man who created a very extremely realistic display. We'll talk more about it coming up next. All the hits, 107.7 The Beat. I was over in Northwest Crossing last week, and I saw this house that looked like a shipwreck. Super cool. They had the windows boarded up. They had a couple of skeletons on the front porch. It looks like they were playing a deck of cards with a card table. Of course, they had some pirate gear on. Also, they had a ship that was literally in their yard. This ship. Well, it was a big old boat, and they made it look like a shipwreck, and there was a skeleton in it driving it. I was super impressed, and I even took a picture. So hope that's okay. But I'm amazed by all the different Halloween decorations. And as you scroll through the internet, you really get to see some extra fancy ones. You know, the ones where the sound mixes up with the lights and it ends up being this huge light show. Very impressive. They even do that one for Christmas. Yeah, excuse me. They even do that one for Christmas as well. Well, this particular man, he took it to the extreme. He lives in Texas. He tends to draw a lot of attention to his home for his over-the-top and gory Halloween decorations. So this isn't the first year that he's done this. He even says that he's not going to stop doing these type of displays, no matter how many times neighbors call the cops. And the reason why they call the cops is because these extremely realistic displays feature dismembered mannequins, a wood chipper, and 20 gallons of fake blood. And if you look at the picture, I mean, during the daytime, it looks very fake and put together because, of course, you can see the mannequins. You can see the blood is pretty fake. But as the sun sets and once it gets really dark, I don't think I would come near that house. Absolutely not. It is really spooky and pretty terrifying. So the big question here is there such a thing as going too far with Halloween decorations? And I'm not going to lie, this guy really pushes the envelope, but I'll post this to our Facebook page and you can let me know what you think about his display. Coming up this hour, the stuntman speaks out after a near-death experience on America's Got Talent Extreme. Have you seen the extreme version of that show yet? Plus, this is pretty interesting and eye-opening to me, especially because I don't really pay attention to anything football. But, you know, I do know that football players, professional football players, do make a lot of money. And I just am reading this article that talks about the comparison of how much these football players make to the cheerleaders that are on the field, flinging themselves around and getting the crowd all riled up. We'll talk more about that around 7:45.
Your Newsbeat is brought to you by the Thomason Auto Group. Thomason Auto, the best way to buy in Bend, Redmond, and online at thomason.com.
Good morning, it's Megan. This afternoon, Bend will celebrate the opening of Caldera High School with a ribbon cutting and a football game. The event includes a free community barbecue at 4:30. The game kicks off at 5:30 with a halftime celebration and student performances. The new 1,600-seat high school opened to 9th and 10th grades this fall. Plus, Oregon Winterfest has a new home. In recent years, the February event has been held in Bend's Old Mill District. In 2022, it moves to the Deschutes County Expo Center in Redmond. Organizers say the shift is necessary to accommodate the substantial growth of the festival. Taking a look at your forecast today, looks like high is going to be in the mid to upper 60s. Looks like Prineville, you'll be around 72, where Bend and Sisters will be around 66 or 68. And mostly cloudy skies. Looks like our rain is coming in to join us right around 8 o'clock tonight and hanging out through the remainder of the evening and even into tomorrow. Tomorrow will be in the mid 50s. Same thing for Saturday and same thing for Sunday. So a nice fall kind of weekend, especially compared to last weekend where my friends got married in 75 degrees. That was pretty nice compared to this Saturday at mid 50s and rain expected. Currently in Bend, it is 46, 45 in Prineville and 37 in Sisters. Today's weather is brought to you by Sun River Resort's New Year Round Cove Aquatic Center. Stay and splash in Sun River for just $129. Central Oregon locals only. Availability is limited, so call Sun River today. I didn't even realize that America's Got Talent had an extreme version. Well, now it news is out that this particular stuntman, things went wrong for him during this stunt, and now production has been paused. This stunt happened on the 14th of this month, and now a week later, this stuntman, his name is Jonathan Goodwin, he's speaking from his hospital bed and has quite an incredible message for the near-death experience that he went through. We'll talk more about it coming up next. All the hits, 107.7 The Beat. I didn't even realize America's Got Talent was doing an extreme version, but it makes sense. People love to watch all those extreme things that happen on television, and it's a lot easier to do so from the comfort of your home. And in this particular case, I mean, I've never been a daredevil, but so this really amazes me that he even tried to attempt this stunt. It's just the fact is that the timing was off, and it went horrible, and it was a near-death experience for the daredevil named Jonathan Goodwin. Now, he's speaking out just a week after he nearly died attempting a stunt for this television show, America's Got Talent Extreme. He was attempting an elaborate stunt in which he was suspended 70 feet in the air, upside down, by his feet in a straitjacket. Naturally. The stunt was for him to escape from the straitjacket, to fall between two swinging cars and onto an air mattress. Unfortunately, his timing was off, and he ended up getting sandwiched between the exploding cars and then fell hard to the ground, landing on his head. Trust me, it is not fun to see. Speaking to TMZ from the hospital bed, he's bandaged and he's clearly burned and bruised, but Goodwin said that he's thankful to be alive and added that he says, quote, "I've been through the very brink and dodged the worst that a human being can without fear because I was protected by love. Love is all you need. So make sure you get some because it's good stuff." He didn't go into detail about his injuries, but it appears he has a long road to recovery ahead. This man is so lucky. And in the video, it looks like he's detaches from the rope with that he's attached to at his feet. He's suspended up there with. He detaches and then falls. Perfect timing for the cars to crash right into him, and there's an explosion. And oh, it's hard to see. These stunts that people do without fear blow my mind. And apparently it's all love for Jonathan Goodwin. Don't get me wrong. I've got a lot of love surrounding me, and I feel very fortunate for that. And I don't feel like it's necessary to suspend myself 70 feet in the air to attempt getting out of a straitjacket, cars or no cars. Coming up next, I don't know much about football, but I do know that those players, those professional football players, make a lot of money. So I was pretty curious about the cheerleaders on the field to kind of discover how much they make. They got to make some pretty good money too. These teams are worth so much money. Well, come to find out, it's the exact opposite, and it's pretty heartbreaking. Let's talk about it next. All the hits, 107.7 The Beat. Now, I don't know much about football. I've said this many times, but I do know that it's football season right now, that the Seattle Seahawks are in Seattle, and that the professional football players make a lot of money. They make, on average, $8.3 million per player. That's a lot of money. Now, I was curious about those cheerleaders because I follow a couple of them on TikTok. Super impressed. They have some really amazing TikToks, and I'm just in awe of their skill. These cheerleaders who get crowds up on their feet, they don't make close to that amount compared to the football players. And I'm not here to say that they need to be making millions. I'm just here to say that I am shocked by how much money they actually are making. According to league figures, the ladies who cheer make a couple hundred bucks per game. And even though most teams are worth more than $2 billion, most of these ladies make $200 a game. And I said billion with a B, by the way. These teams are worth billions, two of them, and the cheerleaders make $200 a game. Now, I went and did some more digging and found that the Atlanta Hawks and New York Knicks pay their cheerleaders the best, $600 per game, with a $1,500 bonus if they make the playoffs. The lowest playing squad or lowest paying squads are the Philadelphia 76ers, Orlando Magic, and Phoenix Suns. Well, I don't know anything about football, but I've definitely never heard of any of those. So maybe that helps, because I feel bad for these cheerleaders because of those three teams. Their payout is $200 per game and a $700 bonus for a total of $15,000 per year. Try living on that salary as you are a professional cheerleader for a professional football team. And to like add more insult to injury, these cheerleaders have to buy their own uniforms. Like, what? I'm pretty darn sure. I mean, don't quote me on this, but don't the football players get their whole uniform times like all the different outfits and head to toe completely paid for? Maybe by sponsorships? I don't know any details there. But again, I'm not here to say that the football game is all about the cheerleaders. We all know it's not. I'm just shocked to hear that some of these cheerleaders are making $15,000 per year. Like, are we going to change that somewhere along the line? I'm going to start following all the cheerleaders and being like, why the heck are you doing this? But then again, you guys look great. So keep it up and follow your passion. But clearly you're going to have a side job. Good morning, and what a beautiful morning it's shaping up to be. I mean, did you see that sunrise? It's incredible. Every stage of the sunrise was just amazing. Looking forward to today. It is Thursday morning after all, so Eric's coming in to join me in about 20 minutes or so. I have many questions to ask him, one particularly about how much money it would take for him to stay in a haunted house. I don't know if he's someone who spooks easy like me. You couldn't pay me enough to stay in a haunted house. I don't even care if like $1 billion was on the line. And I like seriously mean that. I'm petrified. I do not want to be involved. In the end of the day, he's also going to be bringing in his top headlines, which are usually pretty darn silly. I've got food questions for him, which him and I could talk about food all day. So it'll be a really fun Thursday afternoon, definitely afternoon, Thursday morning. Yep, I need to go get some more coffee. That's my cue. Your daily news beats next, plus a check of that forecast.
Your newsbeat is brought to you by the Thomason Auto Group. Thomason Auto, the best way to buy in Bend, Redmond, and online at thomason.com.
Good morning, it's Megan. Today is Great Oregon Shakeout Day. A global earthquake drill takes place this morning at 10:21, when you can practice drop, cover, and hold on. More than 500,000 Oregonians have committed to take part this year. wherever they are and whatever they're doing. They pledge to drop into hands and knees, cover head and neck, and crawl to a sturdy desk or table and hold on until shaking stops. I've already set my alarm. I'll be joining everyone at 10:21 for the Great Oregon Shakeout Day. Also, a new affordable housing option is ready for families on the west side of Bend. Bend Redmond Habitat for Humanity just finished construction of 11 cottages for low to moderate income families. The buildings are all net zero, which means homeowners face lower monthly expenses. Also, this afternoon, Bend will celebrate the opening of Caldera High School with a ribbon cutting and football game. The event includes a free community barbecue at 4:30. The game kicks off at 5:30 with a halftime celebration and student performances. The new 1,600-seat high school opened to 9th and 10th grades this fall. One more bit of news because I find it super spicy. Oregon Winterfest has a new home. In recent years, the February event has been held in Bend's Old Mill District, and in 2022, it moves to the Deschutes County Expo Center in Redmond. Organizers say the shift is necessary to accommodate the substantial growth of the festival. I couldn't agree more. It's always pretty busy down there in the Old Mill, but, you know, us folks who are used to it being in one spot, change is hard. So we'll have to get used to it, and it'll be perfect and nice and spread out at the fairgrounds. It'll be great. All of us who are complaining, we're fine. I can't believe Oregon Winterfest is like, it's going to be here before we know it. And it'll be a whole new year. Taking a look at your forecast today, looks like high is going to be in the mid to upper 60s. Mostly cloudy skies. That sunrise this morning was just gorgeous. I tried to capture it on Instagram and it did not go as well. But, you know, video never does as well as just in person. It was beautiful. Currently in Bend, it's 46, 46 in Prineville and 37 in Sisters.
Megan in the Morning listeners, put your hands together for this entertainer, content creator, and media professional man. It's Thursday Mornings with Eric.
That intro is just, it never gets old, Eric.
The crowd goes wild every time.
Should.
Here in the studio, people are going absolutely nuts. We didn't mic them, but they're just going crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of them. It's a full crowd.
The studio audience is loving us so far.
How are you this morning?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You look like you got yourself a fresh haircut too.
I did. I got a fresh haircut. Like I said, luckily my wife is a hair and makeup artist, so I didn't have to go far to get it.
No kidding. That's so nice.
But yeah, she gave me a haircut, which is neat. I needed it. Like it's been a long pandemic, and I think I got used to just being scraggly.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, that's how I feel about my clothing. Uh-huh. I'm like, wow, I just don't try anymore. I have a full closet of clothing and I am rotating the same five.
I totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I completely agree with you. It's nice to get a fresh cut. Got one yesterday.
Oh yeah, you did.
Feeling fresh.
It looks lovely.
I like chopped off like 3 inches maybe.
And you changed the color a little bit
and
too.
I changed the color. I got rid of some blonde.
I like it.
Now I'm more fall, more natural. It's a little easier, low maintenance.
Yeah.
It's my way of staying scraggly with like a little effort. You know?
I don't think it looks scraggly at all. Okay. You look lovely.
Well, thank you very
much. Of course.
As we're both so fresh and cut clean.
Clean cut.
We got a fun show ahead.
Yeah.
I've got many like Halloween topics for you as we're getting so close.
Spooky season.
Yes, it is super spooky season. And I don't know your level of fear. Like, you know, how
my general level of fear, like, about things?
About anything?
I'm not a super fearful person.
Ooh, then this is going to be a fun show.
Yeah.
Cool. More details and all the fun coming up next. All the hits, 107.7 The Beat. So what's the latest, Eric? What's happened in the last 7 days?
Boy, what is the latest? Not a lot really new has happened in the last 7 days, but I'll tell you what, I am getting good at making coffee on our new coffee machine.
Oh, tell me all about it.
Here's the thing. I love coffee, but I've been traditionally like a French press guy because it's just, it's easy and it's just like I can do it without thinking.
It's familiar.
And that's how I make coffee. But we got a really fancy coffee machine that has like dials and buttons and different kinds of coffee it can make.
Wow.
Which is fun, but like there is definitely a learning curve. So like the first few weeks I had it, I was like, well, this isn't as much fun because I can't just make the coffee I want. I have to think.
Plus,
but now I'm getting good at it.
That's the time in the morning where you don't want to think.
Right.
Where you can't really think. The brain's not really going. You need the coffee.
Right.
So to be able to work a machine.
Yeah, it's like, which comes first, the coffee or the egg?
Right, yeah.
You know?
The coffee should.
I think that's the expression.
I think it is. So is it, how did you finally figure it out?
Well, it's a lot of trial and error. And, you know, just booping buttons and then reading the manual, but more booping the buttons than reading the manual.
Now, can you taste the difference between that fancy coffee machine and a French press?
You know, I still like the way French press tastes, but this I'm using this machine to make more like espresso drinks because it has the steamed milk capability and it can make like a flat white. It can kind of do it all like in one step too. It's really cool. But yeah, I'm used to a more analog coffee setup. That's like the what's new and boring in my life.
You know, it is interesting. I have one little sidebar for you. Were you guys here last winter for Winterfest down in the Old Mill area?
Yeah, I believe we were.
It happens in February.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't know why we didn't go.
The reason why I ask is because they've just decided to move the Winterfest festival from that Old Mill area to the fairgrounds. And I was going to ask your opinion, but... but I also feel bad putting you on the spot to someone who's never been. Have you
been
to Winterfest?
I can imagine what a Winterfest is. I mean, right? Sure. There's probably a lot of
ice sculptures.
Yeah, like wintertime festivity and probably some Christmas markety type of elements.
Right.
And then vendors. Yeah, which sounds nice. I'm a little disappointed that it's going to be out of the fair. I have nothing against the fairgrounds, but unfortunately, and I'm sorry, the fairgrounds man, if you're listening, but I just had the last few events I've been there. It feels so spread out. It's less intimate.
Yeah,
you know.
And that's the problem, right? Is that they're so crowded, it's become such a big event, which is awesome.
Which
way to go,
good.
Central Oregon, right? We
and
want to
I
support local.
Mm-hmm.
But it's become so crowded down in the Old Mill District area that they need a bigger venue. So
I get that.
It's kind of unfortunate that right now I can't really think of a medium venue for
good
something
point.
Like that. Eventually, like I keep hearing wind about the new park that's going to be on 15th here in Bend.
Yeah, yeah.
That maybe Munchin Music's going to be moved there.
Interesting.
But see, this is all hearsay to me. I'm sure somebody out there knows the official ruling.
I'm sure
ruling.
There's someone out there who's very up to date on all of the proposed projects around
Bend.
They
should come on the show, don't you think?
I think so. Hey, if you're listening, send us a DM. Slide right in.
Okay, Eric, earlier in the show, I asked you, you know, like your level of scared.
Yeah.
Just like overarching, you know, if you were going to be watching a scary movie, are you the type of person who would actually even sit through it? What's like,
sure.
How scared can you be? Are you the type of person who frightens easily?
I don't know that I frighten easily. Like, I think the notions of things don't frighten me as much. I'm a fairly anxious person, so I startle easily.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like the jump outs at you, those ones get me. And I like anticipate them. So I think I'm not like scared about the notion being presented.
Okay.
You know, like there's a murderer in the house.
Well.
Ugh. Like, you know what I mean? That's not the scary thing so much as when the murderer pops out and the sound all, you know, tapers to it. And
yeah.
It's like, bang.
Yeah, right.
Those ones get me.
Then the heart starts pumping.
Yep.
So then I think you're a good person to ask about this because this is something like you couldn't even pay me $1 billion to do. And I'm going to give you some time to think about it. So
wow, $1 billion, huh? This is the hill you're dying on.
This is the I can't. I can't even come close to this. So the big question here, don't answer it quite yet.
Okay.
But what would it take to convince you to spend the night in a truly haunted house?
Oh my gosh.
So you can tell like me, I couldn't even do $1 billion. I would never do it.
So what's your haunted house rider, basically? What are you going to send to the haunted house ahead of time?
Exactly. To be able to get all the
things you need in order to go.
Yeah. So I'm going to let you think about it. You know, how much it would cost for you to spend the night in a truly haunted house. From the Anxiety Willow and Tyler Cole. Speaking of anxiety, let's talk.
I was going to say, what?
I know. What a great name.
That is an incredible name.
Especially for like the Times.
The Anxiety?
Just as a whole.
Is that a band or a person?
It's a band.
That's an incredible name for
and
a band.
Willow is...
Willow Smith.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Well, now I have to look into The Anxiety because that's just an incredible band name.
I know. And it's pretty perfect timing because this question gives me anxiety and I'm not even willing to accept $1 billion to go into a real haunted house.
Okay.
So Eric, what would it take to convince you to spend a night in a truly haunted house?
That's a good question. I don't think I can answer that traditionally. Like, I don't know if I could find a dollar figure out there that I would just go and be there all night. But if you hired me to go and shoot footage or like record.
Oh God. And actually be involved.
Well, right. So see, but that would be better for me because I'd be getting paid, right? Like, so if you paid me a lot, like, you know, you could pay me $1 million.
Okay.
Or that's probably a lot. That's still a lot.
I don't know. 14% of people.
It depends
said
on how
million
haunted.
Bucks.
So $1 million, sure. You pay me $1 million, and if my job is to go and like shoot footage and record as much as I can to like prove there or go, whatever it is, that'll be so much less scary for me because I'll have like things to be doing.
You have a task.
Like I'll be doing my work, like the working with the tools I usually work with, and I can handle it. Like I, even if I was seeing something scary happen, I'd be like, oh gosh, I gotta finish the job for some reason.
Wow.
Like the having gone through all those weird freelance environments that I have in my life, that like the getting the job done thing would take over.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I could just go sit in a chair in a haunted house all night. I,
like cozy up with a sleeping bag.
I don't think that would work for me.
I know. Well, other people, I think this was pretty brilliant and not something I thought about, which might help get me in that house. I don't know if I'd actually be able to stay the night, but 56% would settle for $10,000, but only if they could bring a friend.
Why would that help? You know, your friend would both die. So you want to kill one of your friends in a haunted mansion. Perfect.
I know. Well, I think it's that buddy system thing. You're like,
that doesn't help with ghosts. They're like, oh, there's two of them. I'm going to leave them alone. I'm an antebellum ghost.
Oh, it's just terrifying to me. I couldn't even imagine.
No. I don't think so.
11% showed real daredevil blood, saying they'd spend the night for free. I don't even know what that
means. Why would you answer that way in a hypothetical environment? Why would you say, I'll do it for free?
Yeah, you're like,
if you can hypothetically have any amount, why would you be the guy that's or girl that says for free?
Because this isn't a heroic move.
Right, it's not a question.
Sweep me off.
That just makes the person who asked the question go, okay, dude. Sure.
I know. And it's like, what kind of hero are you trying to be?
Who do you think you are?
Unrealistic.
I want a soundtrack of all of the first screams of the people who said they would do it for free the first time they get scared. That would be satisfying.
That would be really good. That would be the next show.
Mm-hmm.
Beat Halloween right around the corner, Eric. And I know, you know, gosh, it's probably pretty darn incredible to be married to a professional hair and makeup artist.
It can be. She can pull them out.
And I know Z loves Halloween.
She loves it.
So I really want to talk to you about maybe some amazing couples costumes that you guys have done.
Definitely.
And I think we should compare them to my attempts of couples costumes. They're pretty bad. So we'll get some really good ideas for anybody who's still wondering what they should do for Halloween
this
year.
Get some suggestions going.
Yeah. All the hits, 107.7 The Beat. Halloween right around the corner. If you're wondering what to do, Eric and Z have crushed Halloween for years.
Yeah, we do. We have done a really good job before. Sometimes we kind of throw it together last minute, and then they're still great costumes, but they don't match. They're not like couples costumes.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what are some of the couples costumes that you have found to be fantastic, you felt really good in?
See, and I like couples costumes, even though they're dorky. I think they're fun because that's that extra level. Like if you have a really good costume on its own and then you have that element, like the wig or like the prop to make that makes it that much better. And that's true too of a couple's costume. Like if you have one great costume and then you have the character that's complementary to it, that's also great.
Right.
Great costume.
Adds to it.
And also I think probably the best couple's costume that we've ever done isn't technically a couple, but they couple well.
Oh,
we did the Two-Face.
Oh.
And the Joker.
Ooh.
From both Batman villains.
Yeah,
but Mackenzie, of course, my wife, Z, she goes that extra step.
Yeah.
And so for my Two-Face, she went and like sewed together two halves of different suits, like a black suit and like a ridiculous colored suit from like Goodwill. Oh. And we cut them in half. So I had the two halves. And then she used like this purple, and it's like an oatmeal based prosthetic that she like mixed up in a bowl and then put all down one side of my face and built this purple bulbous with a green eye, this disgusting looking purple face that went all the way down underneath the shirt. So I looked like one half of my body was this purple mess.
Yeah.
And I had the black suit with the white shirt on the nice side.
Oh.
And then the crazy colored suit on the side with the prosthetic. And it stayed on all night because she's a professional.
Right.
It was amazing.
That is so cool.
We won a costume contest that night, actually.
Did you really?
Because she did the Joker, too. She did the whole face makeup, and she found the perfect... We got really lucky at Goodwill that day.
You're right. That
found great
too.
Wardrobe. Yeah. Great wardrobe. Like the exact things we needed.
Really cool.
It was fun. And I think we may have either won a costume contest or lost it to a very popular drag queen who was also in the house that night, which...
Wow.
Can't blame it.
I know, right?
They have huge numbers of fans. It was a very popular one.
That's cool. Any other ones?
We did, I'm going to forget the name of the, like, and we used the same kind of prosthetic. She was Elle from Stranger Things.
Yes.
Which she nailed. It's a pretty simple costume, but she did a really good job with it. With just like the one trickle of blood coming out the nose.
Ooh, that's good. Did she have no hair?
No, she did like a, she had like a wig, which was like, you know, when she kind of has the short, like the bobby kind
of
hair.
Totally.
And then is it face hugger? Like whatever the monster thing is.
Oh, in Stranger Things.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh, you were that?
Yeah. You just built this whole thing on my face. I know. It's
I'm having a brain fart. Like Rocky Horror. No, what's the
It's like the circle
the Venus flytrap guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that didn't stay on very long because it was a more complicated. But it was cool while we took the picture. I was like, oh.
Terrifying. Yeah. But really so those cool. are fun.
I haven't. And then other than that, they've all just been like two good costumes that don't go together.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, those are fun too. What about you? Have you had any good ones?
You know, nothing to that, you know, level of caliber, you know, being able to have a makeup artist in my house would be really cool.
Very lucky.
Very helpful. Last year we did Frankenstein and Frankenstein's Bride, but we
classic.
We took it to like a 1950s, like greaser. So yeah. Leather jackets and kind of like
poodle skirts.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So that was like a fun element to it. And nice. Then I've been like an old lady and an old man. Because in high school, that's I did so theater makeup for old ladies. That's the only thing I can do when it comes close to any theater makeup.
You can
makeup.
Make yourself look old.
I can make myself look
that's
old.
That's a good skill.
So that was really fun because I had a walker and I had the old hair and like dancing on the dance floor at this club while I looked like an old lady. That was awesome and very comfortable.
Yeah. You know. Sensible footwear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Nice Velcro.
Loose fitting clothes.
And another good year that we went to Goodwill. We found everything we needed.
See, sometimes Goodwill is just the bounty for costumes. Sometimes you don't get lucky and you have to go find something where you might not expect. But Goodwill, sometimes it's really,
really creme de la spot. Yes, creme de la creme. Coming up next, top headlines from Eric.
We have, this is going to be a good tease today. We have two unusual things pulled out of the ocean.
What? That's it?
That's it.
Are they big or small?
Both of them are pretty big.
I think they'd have to be pretty big for people to
one's
notice.
One's really big and one's not so big.
Okay, cool. Yeah. We've got a mix of both, a variety. Yeah,
a little bit of both.
All the hits, 107.7 The Beat. And now, Eric's top headlines.
So, both of these things that were pulled out of the ocean are very dangerous, but I'm going to start with the first one.
Okay.
So, an Israeli diver finds a 900-year-old sword.
Oh, I saw this. It was like covered in barnacles or something?
Covered in shells. First of all,
how do you even
pick that shape? I mean, you must be under the water all the time. I mean, that's a very trained eye, in my opinion. Anyway, Israeli antiquities authority said a diver off the country's northern coast found a 900-year-old sword. How cool would that be?
That would be really cool.
I don't know. I mean, that would be so cool. I have something about pieces of history from like over 500 years ago. To hold one? I mean, amazing.
That's so good.
The authority said Shlomi Katzen of Atlit was diving off of Carmel Beach where he spotted a barnacle-encrusted sword on the seabed.
Wow.
And there's a video of it. It's covered by a boat anchor. Oh. He took it into the authorities and they cross-examined everything. The sword, which had been preserved in perfect condition as beautiful and rare find, evidently belonged to a crusading knight.
Wow.
Said the Israeli Antiquities Authority, Nerda Stealthhead. The officials said the sword would be cleaned and given to a museum. So he's doing the right thing with it.
Yeah.
But like, how, are you kidding me?
To be able to find a
crusader's broadsword.
Wow.
900 years old.
Covered in barnacles too. It didn't even like look real. Maybe he has a metal detector attached to him.
That's what I'm wondering. And the thing is, like, it didn't mention anything here, but like, you gotta hope the guy got a little finder's fee or something.
Something.
Because he did the right thing. He gave it to the museum.
But you'd hope it would be like, I mean,
he could have just kept it.
Yeah.
I might have just kept it. This is my 900-year-old sword.
Right. And then go like get it checked out by somebody who knows a lot about it, but be like, I've had it for all these years, passed down generation to generation.
Just sitting right next to my Alexa in the corner. Here's my 900-year-old. Anyway, thought that was cool. This next one, also something super dangerous, pulled out of the ocean, this time in North Carolina. A man fishing from a beach said he was shocked to reel in a hammerhead shark.
Uh-oh.
Measuring, guess.
I have no idea.
More than
10 feet.
Yeah, more than that.
Oh, 15 feet?
Yeah, a little less. More than 13 feet long.
Gee whiz, that thing's big.
Caught it on a rod and reel. Blake Cochran said he and his friends were fishing for sharks and red drums at North Topsail Beach when he felt something large on the line. He said it was like being hooked to a car, which I can imagine because it's over a ton of fish. Cochran ended up reeling in the 13-foot, 6-inch hammerhead. So it's 13.5-foot hammerhead shark that estimated to weigh 500 to 700 pounds.
Oh,
posted a photo and video on Facebook. There is literally a photo of this guy in the surf with this massive shark.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know.
He was able to reel it in.
I think the chutzpah that this guy has. I mean, I wouldn't want to get anywhere close to a shark that size. Anyway, they asked him how they release these things, and he said, "You just wade out there to your neck, revive it, and let it go."
Sure.
That's the story to me. So what they did after they had taken photos and videos with a 13 and a half foot, 700 pound hammerhead shark, they walked it out into the water where it's most comfortable and most apt at killing. Let it wake up and then let it go.
And ran for their life? I mean, what would you do? You let go, you say, oh, it's alive, run?
It doesn't say if they were then mauled by the shark.
Yeah, right.
But presumably they weren't. Yeah. I mean, that was the thing. I think the people who hang out by the ocean are just much tougher than me, like finding swords and pulling sharks out of the water. But I just am not that guy.
I can't agree more, Eric. I think that's why you and I are just close enough to the ocean where we can go visit, but we're far enough away where none of these things are going to happen.
I found a quarter store ring once in a sandbox. That's about as good as it's getting for me.
I don't know if it would be a Thursday mornings with Eric if we didn't talk about food.
We have to. It's kind of a prerequisite.
So today's topic is all about macaroni and cheese.
It's a good food topic. I mean, there's a lot to get into there.
What is your opinion overall of macaroni and cheese?
Well, I love it. I will say that I think an unsung hero in the mac and cheese landscape is the Velveeta shells and cheese.
Oh, you love it.
I mean, it's not my favorite one, but okay. It's a special when it's around. It's not everyone's. It doesn't seem to be a very common one.
No, the blue box Kraft.
But Kraft is. I love that one too.
It's great.
I like the Annie's healthy ones too. Those are all. They're all good.
Right.
Even the Daiya one that's not even dairy is delicious.
Good to know.
But yeah, Velveeta shells and cheese, unsung hero of the landscape, never gets really.
It never
used,
gets talked about.
The flavor is delicious.
And it's been around for a while. Forever. So people love it. It's just like you said, I don't think people are talking about it as much. And it makes sense why Kraft is launching this macaroni and cheese club. Are you ready for this?
I've never been more ready.
It's called the Kraft Flavors Club, and it's a chance for macaroni and cheese lovers to try out Kraft's new flavors before they hit the shelves. Ooh. And including these flavors, seasoning mixes are pizza, buffalo, and ranch. So the idea here is you get a chance to join this club, exclusively try these new flavors of macaroni and cheese, pizza, buffalo, and ranch. Would you be interested?
Wow. Well, I'm interested already in buffalo because I like to put hot sauce on my mac and cheese.
I know, me too.
It's a really nice little zip.
Yeah.
But I like to be able to customize the zip, so I'd like to try that one.
Okay.
I love ranch dressing. Who doesn't? Ranch is good on everything.
Yeah, right.
So I'd like to see how that plays in with
a
seasoning mix.
Too creamy to
me. I was
going to
say, it might be a little too salty.
Right.
But then again, I'm sure they thought about that.
Yeah, these people at Kraft know what they're doing.
I'm sure they worked on that.
Now, to add even more conversation to this macaroni and cheese topic is DiGiorno's. DiGiorno's, the pizza.
It's not delivery.
Yeah, that's right. It's DiGiorno's, and it's introducing a mac and cheese pizza. So it's just what it sounds like. It's a pizza crust topped with mac and cheese.
And it's not a Kraft collaboration. So it's not a part of the flavor club.
Right. It may be underneath it all is Velveeta. Who knows? Which they should have.
I mean, you could make that choice. It's your own. It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno's.
Right. So what do you think about this idea of a pizza with macaroni and cheese? I think somebody got really high and decided.
That's what it sounds like. my only issue is I don't like I think putting pasta on pizza.
I know.
I don't need it. I already like the bread. There's a lot of bread already in play.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's adding too much filler and not enough of what I want, which is the cheese.
I couldn't agree
right?
more. Yeah.
I mean, I like it to be less filling so I can eat more of it.
Yeah.
And have more of the delicious part, which is, let's be honest, the cheese.
You're going to fill up on just the carbs alone without really getting satisfied from everything else. I like the idea. I think that it's cool. I love
both
of these things. Yeah, but I think even the texture is going to throw me off because that macaroni and cheese is going to be kind of like soupy and moist and it's going to like
Or it'll be too hard. And that's wrong too.
Or it'll be too hard and then you're missing out on all the cheesy goodness.
Right.
The balance is going to be too off. It's
tough.
It's adding two things that shouldn't be paired.
We're skeptical to say the very least.
Baby No Money and Rich Brian helping us wrap up the show. But before we do, I'm very curious to know if you've been watching Squid Game on Netflix.
I have already watched and completed it.
Now, how many episodes are there?
Oh, good question.
Maybe like six or eight.
I think it's eight. I think it's eight.
Okay.
So I could be wrong on that.
You get dedicated into the show, but yeah. It's not one that's going to like take over your life because it's only the one season right now, right?
I believe so. I don't think there's any, there might be slated to do more, but I don't think there are any more currently.
Okay. Now I've only seen the first episode, so no spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers.
And the first episode had me hanging on the edge of my seat. I want to know if that happens every single episode.
It attempts to do that every episode.
Okay.
In my opinion, I am a little critical of the show. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
I think the thing I think was the best about it was the casting.
Okay.
They put the right people in all the right roles. I thought the casting was great. All the people in it were like, I identified. I loved it. Some of the things I didn't like, it's subtitled, but it's also dubbed.
Right. So which one do you recommend?
I fundamentally disagree with the dubbing.
Uh-huh.
It makes you feel like you're watching an old Jackie Chan Kung Fu movie, which don't get me wrong, I love those.
Yeah.
But it provides this level of silliness. And then you have to constantly cross-reference between, if you're using the subtitles, the more faithful translation, and then what they've used dubbing for, which fits the mouth action a little better.
Right.
That was too much for me. Okay. Just use subtitles are fine.
Yeah.
I want to watch them perform the lines in their native tongue.
Yeah.
And then I'll hear the faithful. I'll read the faithful translation.
Right.
I got a little thrown off by the dubbing because I thought the people were so good in the roles.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear them perform.
I typically would be in the same camp as you, but there's one show and it's my favorite one, Money Heist. And I thought that was worth watching it dubbed.
Now, everyone has been talking to me about that one. It's on Netflix as well, right? Yeah. I think you may have mentioned it.
Yes.
It's supposed to be so good. I haven't gotten into that one yet.
So good. And that one I would say.
It's dubbed?
You just got to get used to the dubbing.
Yeah.
You do. I know. It's weird.
I'm weird with dubbing. I will, but I don't like it.
But I think the Money Heist reason why I like dubbing is because it's so action packed that I would catch myself just looking down at the screen, reading the subtitles and missing pieces. Yeah. Missing looks and missing, you know, parts of the action.
Totally.
So, but I couldn't, Eric, I'm not going to lie. I started Squid Game dubbed because I liked Money Heist dubbed, and I had to switch because I'm with you. There were certain tones that was throwing me off.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't, I guess, as appealing. So now I am just looking at the subtitles at Squid Game.
Well, and I think, I mean, these are Korean actors, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, right.
And so just their mannerisms and all of their performances associated with the way that language works and with the culture. Right. It's so different from just like a Western dialect English speaker.
Yes.
And it just threw me off.
Where Spanish is a little bit closer to, you know, why Money Heist may have worked better.
That's true too.
Yeah.
Also that.
Okay. So would you recommend watching it?
Totally. I mean, the themes are all really good. The production's great. Like the shooting of it is good. The sets are awesome.
Yeah.
The people are great.
Is it pretty?
The theory of it is fun.
Okay.
It just, I think it's getting so much credit as like a revolutionary show.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's just the popularity is to do for its international appeal. Like
sure.
It's not just a country's show. It's, you know, sort of meant to be a greater product for many cultures.
Right.
And I think there are so many more watchers. That's maybe why it's gotten so much acclaim.
Sure.
But it's good. That I like sense. It a lot. Keep watching.
Good. Okay. I'll keep watching it. In the meantime, you won't be here next Thursday because you're hitting the road. You're heading
That's
out of
true.
Town.
I am going to Mexico for a bachelor party.
Ooh.
So for Halloween weekend, which
wow.
I would be lying if I didn't say I was a little trepidatious about. I think that's a weird weekend to go to Mexico. But.
Yeah, because of course, yeah, I agree. But you'll have a good time.
I'm sure I will.
And you're going to get out of the weather here and go enjoy some, you know, amazingly warm weather. It's a good time of year.
It
maybe
is.
Just maybe not that weekend.
Oh, I don't know why. But yeah, that's when we're going.
It'll be fun because
Then
I get to hear all about it when you come back to join us after Halloween.
Yes, I'll have
beginning
all the
stories. Of November already.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh. Forget it.
I know. It's crazy. Eric, thank you so much for joining me and have a very safe flight and a fun time in Mexico. I can't wait to hear all about it
thank
when you come back.
Thank you very much. I'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Megan in the Morning podcast. Catch the show live weekdays from 6 to 10 on 107.7 The Beat.